Okay, welcome everyone. Today I have on the phone with me Charles Jamieson. Charles, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you.
Charles competed in a bodybuilding show several months back, and I wanted to interview him because he's been a member for quite some time, and I was able to watch this transformation that he did as he got ready for his show and the incredibly low body fat percentage that he got down to. And it's just time to kind of tell Charles' story, and we're going to take it all the way through to where he is now and what's going on. And I think it's all important, and there are great lessons to be learned all along the way. But before we kind of get to the show and all that, let's find out a little bit about you, Charles. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? Give us the stats and let us know what your family life is like and all that.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, I'm Charles, like you said, and I'm a retired Air Force for over about 20 years in the Air Force. And I'm married, and I have 1 3-year-old child. And I've been working out for pretty much for the past 20 years, or really since high school, for the most part, and even through my military career. I've retired about 2 years ago, and I'm now a DOD contractor working in the IT field. And so that keeps me busy there because of the weird shift schedules, and I do a lot of different things. I'm really into the fitness and reading up on fitness, and I pretty much stay active most of my life. I'm 6 feet tall. And I'm 6 feet tall.
Okay. So how old are you now?
I'm 43.
43.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been training since you were about 23.
Sure. Yeah.
So you must have started training when you were in the military.
Yes. That's when I really picked up weight training, because naturally I played high school football and we did weight training, but I wasn't really anything serious for me. It was just a thing that we had to do in preparation for football or standing condition. But I didn't really take up weightlifting until after I joined the military.
So how did you know you were bit? How did you know you were bit by the bug?
Well,
most people don't do this for 20 plus years. Most people do it in phases. I lifted weights for a 6-month period and that was fun, but just didn't really have an interest in continuing to do it.
Yeah, what got me was the results of weight training. It kept me in pretty good shape for the most part, and just seeing the results, the muscles, because there are certain body parts or certain areas that respond well to weight training. Like most bodybuilders, there are certain parts that they tend to concentrate on and pretty much get good results from it. And it was a thing is foremost, it's like a passion to me. It was kind of something to really relieve some of the stress of being in the military at times, and it's just a good recreational type of thing also.
You bet. So, what was your weight in your 20s and 30s? Have you battled weight at all? Have you always been lean? Did you get into a mentality where because you were lifting, you were always, trying to put on weight? Or where has your weight been since you've been in your 20s and 30s and
yeah,
so forth?
I'm what you consider an ectomesomorph, sort of naturally lean, because growing up I was pretty much a skinny kid almost. Not, I wouldn't say in the extreme sense, but kind of a natural medium-type build. And so early on, I would say I stayed in the 160, 170 range. I actually joined the military at 6 feet. I joined the military at 156 pounds, so
okay.
I've always wanted to put on some weight.
Right.
So that's been my battle, trying to add weight. And then as I, grown older or aged, the weight kind of came on as my metabolism slowed down a little bit.
A little easier to put the weight on now, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
one of the things that's great about this interview is that, there hasn't been too many interviews that I've done. I've done a few where we're looking at someone who has spent a good part of their life thinner than they wanted to be, smaller than they wanted to be, where you always wanted to be a little bigger, a little bit have a little bit more mass.
Right.
And that's kind of the position you came at it from.
Mm-hmm.
So why in the world, with that being the case, would you have ever even looked for a leanest lifestyle program? When did you look for us?
Okay. It's a good question. I like to say weight training and somewhat cardio has never been a problem with me. But as far as eating, you know, there's three different components. You know, of course, you need cardio, weight training, and eating. And I did very well, very terribly in the eating compartment as far as eating the right healthy type foods.
Okay.
And so I've wanted to, I had no problem gaining weight, but I don't think the weight was the right kind of weight most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've looked at some of the different things that were going out, different transformation programs, and after going through the website, I've ran across the Body Changers site.
Right.
With Bob Dole.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his transformation and the product that he used as far as the program he used, the Leanest Lifestyle. And so I went to the site and studied it. For the longest, I just kind of looked at it from the outside, and then I jumped on board and wanted to really get into it.
And what you were saying is that this is obviously at a point where you say you're 43 now?
Yes.
And so you found us when you were, what, 40, 41, what?
About 40, probably.
Okay.
40, it's been about 3 years.
So this is at a point where, as you had said, your weight training, you got that. Got it. That's looking good. You got the right path for that. You're consistent with it. Your cardio, pretty good. Probably more of a bodybuilder mindset where you do just enough cardio just to get by.
Exactly.
Yeah, no more than necessary because you want to make sure it doesn't interfere with muscle growth,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. Plus, probably not a huge fan of cardio anyway.
Right.
All right. Charles and I talked a little bit before, and I've known Charles in the club anyway for quite some time, and I really look at Charles as I say, being one of us with regard to having the bodybuilder mindset. And so it's very common in that to have kind of a love of resistance training. It's almost a no-brainer as far as having a passion for it. But to do only enough cardio to get by, and or as necessary, and then also to kind of battle the food, as Charles has said. So when you came to us and you had said that you really didn't have any trouble kind of gaining weight, this was well beyond your 20s and 30s, or your 20s, where it was, hard to put on weight. And as you said, 6 feet tall, entering the military, you're 156. You're well beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
You came in the Leanest Lifestyle at a point where you've realized that it's actually, because of your eating patterns and the difference in age, it's become easier to put on weight.
Exactly. So
you came in about then. And what weight were you?
I came in at about, it was about 230, or between 226 and 230 when I came in.
Got it. So, and you came in because you'd started to see that you weren't having a hard time putting on weight anymore, but it was really the wrong kind of weight when you did. I mean, you were putting on fat weight pretty easy.
Exactly.
So, so what did you do?
Well, the one thing I did was I went to the site and the first thing I did, I ordered the book, the Leanest Lifestyle book, and I read up on that and I heard what you said about eating those six small meals, and that was one thing that I wasn't doing correctly. I found out in hindsight that maybe one or two or three meals a day haphazardly was not doing getting the job done as far as my metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my body went into a starvation mode or survival mode where it was trying to hold on to the fat, and then drinking the water. Yeah, maybe at one time, working out, I would drink water, but during the day, throughout the day, maybe one glass or two glasses of water. And so that wasn't doing the job for me either. So I looked at the club lifestyle and read the forums and just read the stories of people from the Success Gallery, just looked at their before and after pictures and saw what they went through to accomplish that. And I knew it was more than just the weight training. I think it was a mental aspect of it, too, that I failed to conquer during those years as far as setting those goals and having that strong why, which you've talked about.
Right.
In fact, we've went back and forth on that.
Right.
I tried to go through the whole thing, and I never had a why. I never had the strong why. So
right.
When I sat down and did that and really took full advantage of what was available to the program, that's when I began to see those results that I so much wanted.
Well, and you spent a fair amount of time it's this year that you did the bodybuilding show and you got down to probably the 5% body fat range, right?
Yes.
And so I've seen pictures, and of course people listening to this will have an opportunity at some point in time through some link, Success Gallery and what have you, to see Charles's pictures. But You'll see for yourself. But, you know, what did you do? Did you ever get really lean before the show? In the time that you spent in the club, or kind of what did you do? Did you just kind of hang out and watch and stay on the sidelines, or did you have a period where you got down pretty lean, or what'd you do?
Well, I got to the point where I was getting pretty lean, using the different nutrition analyzer and the activity, just making that and trying to get my score. That was one thing I used to always look forward to, trying to get the score and look at the top 10. So I was setting myself some goals and some challenges, and I would even join the different teams. And so I was making that progress. I think the last month or so, that's when I stepped it up, and then I started doing more or less that pre-competition or pre-contest. Well, really that last 3 months, the pre-contest type diet. And
right. So when you talk about the pre-contest diet, you know, of course, typically in club lifestyle, we use, you know, diet is truly a four-letter word.
Sure, yeah, it is.
And we look at it, you know, it's like, but, you know, were you eating a variety of foods?
Well, when I got to that phase of the process, I was eating a variety, but it was a tight variety, whereas you have your chicken, eggs, maybe out of the proteins, there was five different sources of proteins, and maybe six or seven different sources of carbohydrates that I would consume.
So give us an example of that.
Okay, so let's say in the mornings, I would, as far as my protein carbs combination, I would eat maybe seven egg whites and with the oatmeal, so that was a constant meal there, and maybe a fruit. And then I would have a snack. I would have some type of oatmeal and mix that with some type of protein powder. And then for lunch, I would have a pretty big meal as far as the chicken breast, some vegetables, and a big salad. And then I would have a midday meal. I would have some type of tuna and rice. And then I would follow that up with a dinner, some type of salmon, because I always wanted to get salmon in addition to the vitamins with that. But I would have some type of salmon and, of course, a rice, potato, or vegetables, and then that last meal, well, then I'll have some type of protein shake post-workout, and then that last meal I will have some type of cottage cheese and fruit just to get me through the night.
Well, and one of the things I want to point out to anybody listening is if you can rewind this and play that part again, you're going to hear the many different proteins that Charles ate and the different carbohydrate sources that he stuck with during at least the pre-contest, you know, phase. And there's a lot of good food in there, no doubt about it. Also with the salmon, too, I suspect that what you were trying to get was you just wanted to make sure you were also getting those essential fatty acids.
Exactly.
That the salmon can provide. Yeah, you bet, which is it's great for that. All right, so in getting ready for so basically, like I say, when you were in the club for these 3 years, you spent a lot of time looking, reading, sidelining, continuing to train, but not really getting to your ultimate body fat, right?
Right, that's correct.
And it wasn't until this bodybuilding show this year that you took it all the way, true?
Exactly.
All right. So to me, and this is very common, it's kind of like along the way you were using your membership almost like an insurance policy. Like at some point in time, if I really want to crank this up and do it, I want to make sure this is here. Because like it took you, you know, in true action mode, it took you maybe 12 or 14 weeks to cut the fat off.
Mm-hmm.
But you were a member for almost 3 years.
Exactly.
Right? So I look at it, that's why I call it the insurance policy. Right? You were learning, you were participating here and there, and you were gaining some helpful knowledge, but you hadn't really applied it all to a very serious action phase. Like you said, your why was always kind of missing some components, or it had some holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be true?
That is absolutely true, because like you've mentioned, I was a member, and I saw the tools that were available, but did I do the nutrition analyzer? No. Did I actually build a program that way or use those tools that were helping me to really get into the action phase? You know, I was just researching, reading, and pretty much, like you said, just standing on the sideline, you know, seeing what was there, looking at all the improvements that others were getting. And then when it finally hit me, I guess I had a strong enough goal, and I had some goals being won that bodybuilding contest, one of many goals, and then I've really decided to make that strong why and to dedicate myself. And I took that time finally to get that my meals into the nutrition analyzer and to build those meal plans and to work out that lean account and to start using those tools effectively.
And, you know, one of the things I want to say, too, and the thing is that it wasn't like Charles just did nothing on the sidelines. You were active here and there, and there were times where you and I would communicate. And I remember some of those communications where I would say to you, like you had said, I kind of grilled you on your why. You know, why do you want to do this? And that was before you had a bodybuilding show in mind.
Right.
You really wanted the bodybuilding condition, but you didn't have the show. I said, why do you want to do this? And your why would, it just had some holes in it that wasn't super strong. And so you'd go to a certain point and then you'd kind of stall out. But we had these communications, and, you know, one of the things I want to say is that, you know, one of the things that the show did, without a doubt, was provide an incredible goal and simultaneously the why. And not only the why, but the why right now, which is very important. Because you could have a why, well, I want to be healthier. Well, I want to look better in a bathing suit. Well, I want to actually have a six-pack once and for all. But the next question you've got to ask yourself, and that is, why right now? And that bodybuilding show answered that question, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, it did. It did.
Because it wasn't, well, maybe next week I could start to tighten things up and get better with my nutrition analyzer and actually start using the tools and put it all in place. Maybe next week. No. You know, talk about that, Charles. When you've got a show and you know the date, how does that change your mental aspect of the why right now?
Oh, it definitely puts a time crunch on that, because you're looking at every day is valuable because
right.
if you slough off, you got to think about your competition, that they're not doing that they're at the gym working out, that they're getting up first thing in the morning, doing the cardio or staying clean to their self or true to their self with their meals.
Right. They're doing it all. So you're either doing it all or you're not going to be a good representation of what you could be on stage.
Exactly.
You could be an embarrassment.
Exactly.
To yourself and your family. And
as a matter of fact, if I may add this to kind of give me a little bit more fire to why I was so determined to be successful this time, was back in back in 2003 was my first attempt to do a show. Like I say, I've always worked out, and you know, people would say, "Wow, you're pretty big. You look like you can compete." And my workout partner and I decided to compete in a show or to get ready for a show. Well, I was doing all the right things, but like I said, as far as nutrition-wise, it wasn't there. And so I allowed some other stresses to come in to play, which sort of affected my workout. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I continued about a month or a week before the show, I was nowhere near ready to compete. And I knew I wasn't ready to compete.
Right.
Because I read your book about, you had a little timeline as far as where you should be if you want to compete in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was well outside the line.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why, but I decided to compete anyway.
Mm.
And I competed at the worst condition that I've ever been. You know, I was 220, but I honestly couldn't say, I know I wasn't 5%. I was nowhere near that, and the pictures could show that. And I since then, I kind of promised myself that, you know, I'll never do that again, and I wanted to. That's why the fire was that much stronger, to kind of redeem myself,
right,
if you will, in this show here. And I set the date, and I kind of stayed true to it all the way through.
Oh, you didn't kind of. You did it.
Yeah.
You did it. Well, I like that, too, because that's the word I was thinking of as you were talking about this. This was redemption. You know, this was redemption. This was to show that you could do it.
Exactly.
You know, you could do it. You could go all the way instead of half the way and still get in the show.
Right.
And, you know, you've been to shows, right?
Yes.
I mean, have you sat in the audience, you know, how many shows have you been to? A half a dozen?
About a half a dozen shows.
Okay. So if you have, you've sat in the audience like everyone else, me included, and I've been to dozens of shows. And you sit there, and while you don't know the whole backstory of someone, it's very common to sit there and go, the person looks pretty good, but they're 3, 4, 5% off.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And you sit there and you go, oh, man, if the person would have put another 3 weeks into their nutrition, they would have been dialed in just right. And that was you in the first show.
It definitely was.
The people in the audience were thinking, man, that guy looks good if he'd only finished the job. And that's what you did in this show, no doubt about it.
Yeah, in fact, that's what the judges, as far as getting the feedback after the show, they said, you know, the symmetry is there, but I want to know what's under all that fat there, because I know there's some type of a good shape that's there, but, you know, of course, your condition is not.
That's what they said in the first show?
That was what they said in
the first show. Oh, they said, you got some decent symmetry, but, man, we can't see it because it's all covered up.
Exactly.
All right. So, okay, so let's talk about, you know, what you did here. So what body weight did you start at getting ready for this show, and where'd you end up?
Okay, I started at, by the time I kind of off and on, I say the marker was about, I'd say it was about 220.
Okay.
I was about 220 and about maybe 16% body fat.
Right.
Which isn't too bad, but mm-hmm. obviously to compete, it's not where you want to be.
Sure.
It's not where you want to be. And then you mentioned something about a percentile based on the age and the weight and where you wanted to be. And my goal was to get in that top percentile that you mentioned in your book.
Right.
And so I started there, and I ended up, when I weighed in the night before the show, I weighed in at about 188, and my last body fat measurement had me at about 4.9% body fat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, how many weeks was this cutting phase, was this action phase?
Ooh. Well, the action phase was a little bit longer because, you know, obviously I had a little bit more fat than I wanted, but I started the serious action phase from about about December until the night of the show, which was June.
Okay, so it was about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
32 pounds, though.
Yes.
All right. So, all right. So, as you went through the process, anything harder than you thought it would be? Everything about what you thought it would be? You'd kind of sort of done it before. You just stopped short.
Right.
So it wasn't like it was all new to you or anything.
No, it wasn't all new. I think the hardest part was the consistency and staying on the course,
mm-hmm.
staying steady no matter what. Just looking at what you say, that meal, that once a week.
That splurge.
Splurge meal, if
yeah.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to reward myself for that once in a week and try not to raid the cookie jar in the middle of the week. Because
right.
you know, once I have one cookie, you just can't have one.
Right. Right.
And you can go on and on. And
yeah.
Trying to limit those meals and try not to splurge too much.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it was just being consistent on the nutrition side.
Yes.
Your resistance training is like a no-brainer, right?
Right, right, for the most part.
For the most part.
But, you know, there were some days that you needed that extra bit of encouragement.
Right.
And you thought about the prize, and you thought about the results, and you thought about what you wanted to accomplish, and that kind of got you out of there.
How was cardio?
Cardio, yeah, I would say that was the second most difficult part for me, because
mm-hmm.
Cardio, I was never really a big fan of cardio, and I knew about the high intensity interval training,
right?
But I wasn't consistent enough on that, and so I did. In your book, you mentioned out some different plans. I think it was a 7-week plan, and I did that on the bicycle, and I kind of varied up on the elliptical and the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And due to sight, I think someone mentioned another thing that kind of add a little bit more life. To
Cardio coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I got that, and that really took me over, because it got out of the boredom of my cardio.
Right. Right. So so you go through this, and your the fat continues to come off, and you do take it all the way. You ended up at you say 188 night before the show.
Yes.
So, as you went through this, you said you had a splurge about once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to give up all of your favorite foods for 6 months to do this.
Right.
And did that help keep the sanity as you went through it?
Yeah, it did. It did, because as you know, doing a pre-comp, that last few weeks when you really kind of eliminate most of it, your mind begins to can play tricks on you.
Yes.
And you have different types of urges. You have to do all types of things to keep your focus on what you have to do.
Right.
But that gave me a little validation, if you will, of what I was doing, because I knew that I could continue to lose weight but yet still eat, unlike a diet, you know, that word where
right.
you completely get rid of all the things that you want or the things that you desire
mm-hmm.
and think that you can stay in that state forever.
Right.
And it's
right.
impossible.
You know, one of the things I want to ask you, during the 6 months, were there any kind of life challenges that you had to get through as you got ready for the show, or was it pretty much just kind of a normal, everyday, you know, status quo, you know, life events for you? Anything, any obstacles you had to overcome?
Well, there was, I wouldn't say life changing obstacles, but I think the challenge of trying to maintain a household, trying to be a great husband and a good father and to spend time with my family was a challenge, and trying to juggle those different things. And also because my work schedule, you know, I'm in a 24/7 type operation, that was kind of difficult too, because you know, after working 12 hours and then now having to go to the gym when you're pretty exhausted. And so that was kind of challenging. But, you know, thankfully, I didn't have any type of life-threatening or different
okay.
things that to really affect my transformation.
You know, Charles, I might have missed it. I know you're retired Air Force, but what are you doing now where you're working 12 hours?
Well, I'm work on the I'm a DOD contractor.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
right. Got
yeah.
it. Yeah, so sorry about that.
I'm supporting operations.
Okay. All right. So now you've done the show, and you feel good about what you accomplished, I hope, anyway.
Yes.
I mean, you look great, and you made a great transformation. Now it's been a few months since the show, and the weight's come back up some.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I want to say right off the bat is that, you know, when I first got lean, I didn't have everything I needed at that time, mentally, emotionally, to get down and stay down. And one of the things I've learned about people who make dramatic transformations like Charles has is, and Charles, I'm telling you this too, is it takes a lot of times what I call about three passes. Like, you've been incredibly lean, you know, how many times since you started putting on weight easy? One time, right?
One time.
Yeah. One time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider that one pass. Okay?
Okay.
So, in a pass, just for the people listening, is not a false start. It's not like, Charles, where you know many times in our conversations in the years you were a member before doing the show, you might have had what we call a false start, where you were gung-ho on Monday, but by Friday, eh.
Mm-hmm.
if it doesn't happen, eh, you know, I want it to happen, but again, the why wasn't strong enough. See, that's not a pass. And from here on out, for Charles, a pass will be getting to or doing better than you did at that show. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I have found to be true, as we discuss kind of, you know, what's going on since the show is it takes a lot of times three passes. Some people do it in two. Some people do it in four. But you need three passes. You need at least two to really have it kind of sink in and have it become that kind of lifelong endeavor of it really becoming a nutritional lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no different. I did the same thing. The first time I did a show, what I did is I went down to, the very first time I did a show, for everybody listening, I was in college. I went down to 160-some pounds, and within 4 days after the show, I was 190. 4 days.
Wow.
Okay? Do you think back then, when I was 20 years old, that I was really deprived? Yeah. I was deprived. Not only physically deprived, but I was mentally and emotionally deprived of the food thing. So, and then a second show, I went down, and I got, I was low 170s, had put on some muscle mass, came in really lean, went back up to about 200. So this process, it took me a few passes. It takes most people a few passes. And again, a pass is not a false start. But it's a real action period where you get to or surpass something that you've done as your best before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right, so from where you are, And you and I have talked about this, and I said, I want to talk about this on the interview because this is real, and so many people are going to be able to relate to this. You gained quite a bit of this weight back, right, Charles?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, and listen, Charles has got a lot of muscle. He's also got he's a bodybuilder at heart, and he's always looking to become a little better, always looking to put on a little more muscle. And let's face the facts, Charles. We both know that when you're a little heavier and you got a little more fat, you're what in the gym? Stronger?
Oh, much stronger.
Much stronger. And that's always something that, I mean, not necessarily on an everyday basis with Ultimate Focus, but that's something that you are concerned with. You would like to be strong. And if anything, you'd want to be stronger, not weaker. Right?
That's correct.
Because if you are, you're putting on muscle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so at this point in time in your life, let me just ask, do you still care about putting on muscle? Or are you more maintenance?
Well, I would like to put on a few more pounds if I could because of, when I got down to my low extreme body fat, I was at 188. So if I can add a few more pounds of muscle, that'll get me maybe up to my ideal of maybe 200 or 205 or even 190 with a low body fat percentage.
Well, the top end of the light heavyweights, too, is like 198.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you could top out the light heavies, 196, 197, at that 4.9 again, it just puts you in a better spot for competing.
Exactly.
So, I'm just trying to prep people for, look, this is the mindset, this is the mindset of a bodybuilder. And it's not only the mindset of a bodybuilder, it's a mindset of someone who spent a lot of time when he was younger being thin, wanting to add weight. But then, in the 30s and so forth, found that adding weight became easier and easier, and then also that the food and nutritional side of things was not as stellar or controlled as you'd ultimately want it to be if you want to live in the 6, 7, 8% body fat range on a daily basis. All I want to say to all that is it's okay. And this is very normal, and there's going to be a lot of people shaking their heads going, yep, I get it. Been there. I do it. I'm still doing it. And I just want to give everybody some kind of comfort and just say, you haven't had enough passes. You haven't had enough passes. Take your time. You come at this again. The next time you come at it, what will happen, Charles, is you won't come back up as heavy. Now, what are you weighing now, or what have you been weighing since the show?
I saw my weight gradually go up, and currently I'm about 230 now.
Okay. So is this about your max?
Yes.
Is this the kind of a point where you just cut off and you say, I don't care what's going on. I don't care how much mass I want to put on. I don't want to put on any more weight.
Right, exactly. I've always said this is because I don't ever want to get up to that 239, 240 range.
That's right.
A little too heavy.
Right.
But the 230 is it's a little beyond the max, but yeah, that's about the max.
It's about it. And we're in the holidays here. We're at the end of the year in 06, and it's the holiday time. And, this is the most treacherous time now between now and January 15th. And it is what it is. Let me ask you something. Do you have plans to make a second pass ever again?
Oh, absolutely.
So you want to compete again?
Yes.
Okay. So, what I'm here to tell you is that this is what I find to be true, is make that second pass. Do it just as well. Try to surpass what you did before. Come in, even leaner. Come in at 4.5%. But make it a full pass, not a false start. And when you do, Charles, what you'll find is, like myself, and so many other people listening, is when you come back up, which you will, let's say you compete at 192.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back up, you won't go to 230. Maybe you'll go to 220, and that'll be it. Maybe you'll,
Yes, exactly.
You'll come back up, but maybe not as high. You start to get a better feel for the nutrition side of things. It starts to become more comfortable. It starts to not feel so abusive.
Yeah.
Listen, when I was powerlifting in my day and I was 235 pounds, back then, if I was going to think of what I typically eat when I'm staying at 6 to 7% year-round, I would have said, there's no way in heck I can eat that way.
Uh-huh.
You understand that mentality?
Oh, definitely.
Right. You're like, there's no way in heck I can eat that way. Not year-round. But, I eat that way year-round now, unless I'm bulking up for a show or something. And it's easy. It's easy. I didn't used to be easy, but my mindset has changed. Yours can too. So can the other people listening. So, all right. So listen. With all that said, what would you say? What do you continue to? How do you want to improve yourself? Where to from here?
Okay, one of the things I want to do is continue to surround myself with people that have the same mindset as far as those positive attitudes, and I want to continue to read up on, but not only read up on what it takes as far as proper nutrition, but kind of stay in that action phase, if you will, to kind of learn from this first pass that you've mentioned,
right,
and to build on that.
Right. It makes sense. One of the things that, you know, I can't stress enough, when you're ready, would never want to rush you, because, you know, bodybuilding, it takes a lot out of you, because you've got your routine you've got to prepare for. You've got everything from posing to tanning to posing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. A lot of preparation. Usually some travel. It's just, there's a lot that goes into it. But when you're ready, I think that another show is going to help you create that second pass.
Yes.
And there's a chance. I mean, your chances go up with each pass, that each time you're going to stay leaner after the show. And so, you know, I would just, you know, I really would encourage you to be looking for that. I don't know if it's going to be 07 or 08 or, you know, or what it would be. But when you're ready, I think that the show, as it does for many when they do compete, it provides a great goal and a tremendous why. And it answers the questions that we try to answer, that you and I tried to answer when you didn't have a show.
Mm-hmm.
Why now? And the show definitely answers that. Well, there's a million different things that people can do. And there's a lot of Neanderthal methods, you know, I'm going to call them, you know, caveman methods to getting ready for a show. And you and I both know that there are certain people that live on nothing but, you know, chicken breasts and broccoli for 6 weeks. You know?
That's insane.
Painful. You know, as they get ready for a show, you know, what would you say to someone, you know, listening who's trying to figure out if they can really use leanness lifestyle to take it all the way?
Well, I definitely highly recommend leanness lifestyle, because it talks about, when it comes to nutrition, the variety, and that you can get away from that caveman mentality when it comes to eating, getting the proper nutrition in as far as the proteins. Because I was able to eat, like I mentioned earlier in the interview, the 5 to 6 different sources of proteins on a constant basis, and even use a little bit more, and even the same with the carbohydrates to effectively to eat well.
Is using the system, the online site, I mean, how many times, let me ask you this first, how many times did I meet you in person to, you know, help you get to this 4.9%?
Zero,
yeah. We still haven't met. Hopefully we will someday. As far as the site, once you finally were committed to the show and you started using the tools, was it anything, you know, at first, it probably took you a little more time to get used to everything, right?
Yes, it sure did.
And as you went on, how much time would you say you were spending on the computer, you know, as you got more and more into it?
Yeah, that was the funny thing. I thought it would be very computer intensive as far as trying to stay with that. But once I got the baseline down as far as setting up my meal plans, because it's pretty much a database, it's very easy to just do your meals. That was pretty easy, and after working out, I would just put my information in. So I would say, you know, of course, I would like to look at the forum, spend a little time on that, but from a transformation point of view, I'd say maybe 20 minutes max a day, if that long,
right,
to get everything in. And, you know, like I said, I like to read the reports every 30 days and see how I'm doing also.
Right. Right. Well, there's a lot, you know, inside the club. It's very comprehensive. And for a lot of new people coming in, it just feels overwhelming, because they just see all the stuff that there is to do and all the stuff there is to use. But, you know, you just have to start, and you just take it a piece at a time and a day at a time. And, you know, like Charles said, it, you know, once you get going, 20 minutes. And that's even dinking around looking at some of the other stuff.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to give you the last word here, Charles. Any last words of advice to anyone else who might hear this later, who might look at and see your pictures and go, man, that's exactly what I want to do?
Okay, yeah, the one thing that I would say, and it's kind of cliche, is Rome wasn't built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start a transformation, of course, you have your end goal in mind, but the real transformation is on a daily basis, you know, taking those little small steps. And as you begin to make those little victories, maybe 1 week at a time or 1 day at a time, and say, hey, I went to the gym. Hey, I ate my meals correctly. I stayed clean, because I used to make little green X's on days that I would stay clean and stay straight. And so it's just a 1 day at a time process. And then as the time transpires, you'll notice a change gradually. And like everybody could probably attest to who have been successful, you begin to get those comments from people about, wow, they can notice the changes. And make sure you have a strong why, too, because it has to be strong enough to really get you going, because sometimes you're not going to want to stick to the program. Sometimes you're not going to stick to it all the time. So, and make it a lifetime or lifestyle type commitment. It's not a diet. It's not something that you do and then you just stop doing it. If you can just incorporate it as part of a lifestyle, it'll be that much more easier to maintain.
Yeah, it's great advice, and you know, we're looking forward to speaking to you again whenever that may be, because I know there could be, you know, quite some time between, you know, the next pass or the next show. But I definitely look forward to doing a follow up here and seeing, you know, how you're doing, you know, a few months after your next show and after that next pass.
Exactly.
And I'm very confident that it's going to be at an even better place, you know, than you are right now. And you'll get that much more out of it, and it'll feel just that much better as you go through it. Won't be so, you know, shocking to your body and system and to your patterns and habits and all that kind of good stuff. But Charles, it's a great story. You've created an amazing transformation. I definitely want to thank you for spending some time with me today to share your story with everyone. And, you know, we'll be watching, and I hope that you'll reach out again when you do that second pass and you hit that next show. Want to see the pictures from it. Want to help you along the way. And so anyway, thank you for your time today, and we will speak to you soon.
Okay, and thank you for providing such a great resource and a help for all of us, leanness lifestylers.
All right. Thanks so much, Charles.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the leanness lifestyle and club lifestyle online, please visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com.